Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Why Don't I Just Get Started? And I am your host, Robert Farrell. It is Sunday night, January 11th, 2015. It is January, and of course, in many parts of the country and the world, that means it's pretty cold. In San Diego, it's not that cold, but it's still cold for San Diego. And it is actually raining right now. I'm actually walking out in the rain. Because I want to do my show. And I suppose I could do my show from inside where it's not raining on me. That would probably make a little more sense. But I am committed to doing this show and to exercising. I may exercise a little less tonight, or I may exercise the same amount of time, but I'm going to do the show either way. So last night, I didn't do this show, and it was interesting because it wasn't just that I didn't feel like doing it. There was something in me that said, I don't really need to do the show tonight, and I couldn't figure it out because I'm committed to exercising every day, and my commitment is to walk 2 miles. However, I realized that I had not walked 2 miles yesterday, but I had exercised pretty vigorously. I went with my daughter, one of my daughters, and we went to this bouncy house thing called Sky Zone, and we jumped up and down on trampolines and stuff. And I played dodgeball, a lot of dodgeball on trampolines. And it was pretty vigorous exercise, and it was a lot of fun. And it was a little bit sore today, and I was sweating at the end of it, sweating so much that I had to go back home and take a shower before I went out again. So I didn't do the show last night, not because I didn't feel like it, but because I had had enough exercise for one day. Today, however, I haven't had really any exercise. I've been pretty much inside most of the day. I was out this morning for a while, but for most of the day I've been out, and I do need the exercise. So that's what I'm doing. And although the title of the show is Baby, It's Cold Outside, it's actually not that cold. It's just raining. And it's not pouring rain. It's just a good light rain, but it's rain nonetheless. And I'm grateful for that because California has been in a drought for the last few years. So I'm hoping that we'll continue to get this level of rain for the next few weeks, because it will hopefully end the drought. And that's what's going on. Mostly I'm walking, and I'm walking because I'm trying to stay with my commitments. With regard to other commitments, I finished my 800th blog today. I was happy to do that. And I go back to work tomorrow after a 3-week vacation. And though I say vacation, it's really just more time off, and for which I'm very grateful. I think of vacation as going somewhere and not doing much work, but I don't have really any money to go anywhere at this time, and I want to do my work. I really do. I want to write. I want to do radio shows. And actually, it's funny because this last 3 weeks was anything but a vacation. In addition to dealing with the normal holiday Christmas stuff, I spent a good deal of time working on a paper for an entrance exam to get into an online master's program in history. I was told last Tuesday that I would find out on Friday if I got in, and that if they hadn't contacted me by Friday, they would contact me on Monday to tell me I hadn't gotten in. And if you heard any of my previous shows, then you know I was not contacted on Friday, and so it's possible I didn't get in. And this would be a good time to recap the work by Byron Katie, who wrote a couple of books. One of them is Loving What Is. And Loving What is a wonderful book, one of my all-time favorite books. And in it, she has a process called The Work. And The Work involves four questions. The four questions are, is it true? Second question, do you know it's true? Third question, how does that make you feel? And fourth question, who would you be without that thought? So, and then you do this thing called the turnaround, in which you turn around the idea that you have about a particular situation. Case, I would take the supposition I did not get accepted into the school, and I would apply the work to it, the four questions. So the first question is it true? And the answer is, I don't really know. I was speaking to a teacher today, and he said, well, he said, actually, I'm not going to say it as well as he did. He was very funny in his response, but he said, Friday to them, to a bureaucracy, means 6 Fridays from now after the winter solstice. And it was very funny the way he said it, but his point was that to not draw any conclusions from what happened or didn't happen. In other words, something may have happened to delay the process. So the question, is it true? The answer is, I don't know. So because I said I don't know to the question, I don't have to answer the second question. Do I know for sure that it's true? Because I already answered, I don't know. Now, what if the first question I had answered, yes, I know it's true. I didn't get accepted into the college. What if that had actually been my answer? Well, then the second question would be, do I know for sure that it's true? And sometimes we can still answer yes to that, or sometimes we can say, well, I maybe 99% sure, but not 100. So the truth is, I think, there's very little that we really know. How do we know something? How do we know our faith is real? If our faith is real, how do we know if bad, or how do we know if things are going to go badly or well? How do we know anything? Well, we just go through it day in and day out. But it's interesting. There are very few things we know. There are facts such as 2 + 2 = 4. But there are, I think, if just as many, if not more, beliefs as there are facts. And unfortunately, fortunately or unfortunately, our beliefs often run our lives far more than facts. And we do things based on what we believe rather than actual facts. Now, I'm not talking about spiritual beliefs. I'm talking about things like, well, I believe someone's not a good person, so I'm going to treat him or her badly. Or I believe that person offended me on purpose. Or I believe I didn't get accepted into the school. Or I believe the government is corrupt. Or I believe whatever we believe. And a lot of times our beliefs are negative. There are very few things we know. So in answer, again, to the question, do I know for sure that I didn't get accepted into the college? No, I don't. The only quote, unquote, evidence that I have is what my academic advisor said, which was, we'll let you know on Friday. If you don't hear from us on Friday, we'll tell you on Monday that you didn't get accepted. Now, it looks bad for me, but as my teacher pointed out, and as other people have pointed out, and as I myself have thought, maybe something happened. It's often the truth in the job search market when you're going through an interview and someone says, well, we'll let you know on Friday, that a lot of times things happen that you weren't expecting or they weren't expecting, and the process gets delayed. Now, that's extremely frustrating for a job seeker, but it's probably more the norm than not. Now, it would be nice if people did what they said they were going to do, if things went the way they said they were going to go, but it's not necessarily anyone's fault. I don't think this was intentional. I don't think anyone did anything wrong in a moral sense. It's simply things probably just didn't go the way they planned. So, do I know for sure I didn't get accepted? No, I really don't. It's possible, and it's possible that I'm fine. So the next question, do I really know? I don't have to do. And the third question is, how does it make me feel, that thought? How does the thought I didn't get accepted into school make me feel? Well, I'll tell you this. On Friday, I was, I won't say a nervous wreck, but I was not in a great place for a good part of Friday. I really, the school is on the East Coast, so there's a 3-hour time difference, which means they're actually 3 hours ahead of me here on the West Coast. And the whole, well, at first I didn't think about it too much, but then as it was getting later and later, I thought, okay, it's 12 o'clock here, that means it's 3 o'clock there. I should know something by now. And then it's 1 o'clock here, it's 4 o'clock there. And then by 2 o'clock here, it's 5 o'clock there. And I'm pretty sure that they shut down their offices by 5 o'clock and I wasn't going to hear from anyone. And I, honestly, how did it make me feel? How did that thought make me feel? I felt bad. I felt shocked. I felt surprised. I felt a blow to my ego. I felt confused. I felt all kinds of things. I felt a little scared. The fear came from, well, does this mean that I'll never be able to pursue this goal? I felt a little, what's the word? Not cynical, but I felt defeated. I felt like, well, maybe I'm just never supposed to teach history. Maybe this was just a bad idea. Maybe I'm no good. Maybe I'm not smart. Maybe I'm not a good writer. I don't know. All these really horrible thoughts started coming towards me. And they weren't horrible, but they were bad. But they would have been horrible if I hadn't stopped them. But at some point, I just said, okay, enough, enough. Because I see how these me feel. They make me feel bad. They make me unhappy. And they're not thoughts I want to carry around. They're not thoughts I want they're not thoughts that help me. They're just these awful thoughts, like carrying around a bag of rocks, completely useless activity, and exhausting and painful. I mean, imagine carrying around a bag of rocks. What would be the point? Unless you're a geologist or something. So how did that make me feel? That thought, I didn't get accepted, it made me feel bad. So then the next question is, who would you be without that thought? I'd be fine. I'll be honest, once I kind of got through the worst part of it, I didn't think about it a whole lot. Well, actually, I went through a process. First, I was feeling really bad. And then I thought, okay, if I don't get this for whatever reason, then I have options. And a friend pointed this out. You have options. So I considered my options. I could check another school. I could dig myself deeper into the work I'm already doing and see if I can improve in that. Or I could move further into my writing. And I thought about this, and this was, of the three alternatives, this was the most exciting for me, and that was the idea that I'm really, really going to dedicate myself fully to my writing. I'm going to read more books about writing. I'm going to learn how to be a better writer. I'm going to maybe even learn different kinds of writing. I'm really going to focus on my writing. And as I said, that was, of the three, that was the most exciting alternative for me. I'm just going to work harder on what I'm already doing. And maybe, didn't get in, maybe that's the reason. Maybe I'm supposed to focus on my writing. Maybe that's what I should have been doing in the first place. I'll say this, that when I focused on that history material, it did two things. First, it pretty much diverted all of my attention from my writing, or pretty much most of my attention. I really didn't have it in me to write a lot of blogs. And as a matter of fact, I said that if I'm going to be in a history program, then I'm going to reduce my number of blogs this year to 200. Well, last year I wrote 462 blogs. So to reduce it to 200, that's more than 50% of what I was doing. I would reduce it by about 60%. And that's a huge reduction. Now, I'm willing to take that reduction if I'm in a history program, because the other part of doing this paper was it took a lot out of me. I mean, it really did. It was very stressful. It was very hard. And I was even a little bit sick for about a day after I finished the paper. I didn't feel well. It wore me out. And I wasn't like deadly sick, but I was a little bit sick and worn out mostly from doing this paper. And I thought, well, if just getting in took that much effort, imagine how much effort it's going to be in the program. Now, if I do get in the program, I'm going to have to change study habits a little more and pace myself a little better and use my time a little better. And that's fine. I'm good with all of that. But my point is that it took a lot out of me, and it was an object lesson for me, a cautionary tale. to really be prepared. Now, if I get in the program, well, first of all, let me back up and say that doing this paper was very powerful and exciting. It was a good experience for me, even though it was really hard. I was very proud of myself because for the first time, I think, in my life, I read all the materials required. Now, it was only two books, but those two books together were over 700 pages. And I read them in about two weeks, actually. So I did what I needed to do, and I was really proud of myself. But if I'm going to be in this program, it's going to take a lot of work. And if I'm not, I'm going to focus probably on my writing. Who would I be without that thought? I'd be fine. Who would we be without any thoughts that are negative? Who would we be? Think about it. Think about something that's happened in your life where you thought something bad was going to happen. And that thought just consumed you. And maybe that thought was there for a long time, maybe for days or weeks or whatever, maybe years. Maybe you had this thought for years and it dragged you down. And then something came along and changed that thought. I'll give you an example. One time, I had this person who was very close to me criticize my parenting. And he was pretty harsh. He was really harsh. He said, "You're not a good parent. You're not strict enough. You're not a good parent." And it really hurt me because it was someone I loved and cared for. And his words were very, very hurtful. And I carried this thought with me for a long time of this person's judgment of me, of my parenting. And one day I mentioned it to someone, a mutual acquaintance. And the person laughed and said, "Are you kidding? I've known that person for years." And I remember when he was not a good parent in any way. He didn't give his kids any discipline. And when they would come to stay with us, I would have to set rules because his kids were always out of control. And this new perspective changed my thoughts. I went without that. I didn't care anymore what this person thought because I realized that it was based on a projection he had. He was putting on me. But my thought changed. Who was I without that thought? Relieved. Happy. I was free. I was just free of that thought. Byron Katie talks about the idea that we're walking along and we see a snake on a path and we get scared and we get panic and our blood pressure increases and we start sweating or getting nervous or whatever we do. And then we look again and we realize, oh, it's not a snake, it's a rope. And she says, all our problems are ropes. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but let's just say that it is. All our problems are ropes. They're not snakes. This one, at least, is a rope. It's a rope. If I don't get into the college, it's not going to kill me. I'm not going to die. My life won't end. I have other options. And I think most of us have other options. And by most, I probably would say 99.9% of us have other options. Even if our only option is to go deep into our minds and find all the good that is there. Now, you might be saying, well, there is no good. I've had a hard life and I've had all these problems and I don't have any options, not even in my mind. Well, I understand that thinking, because a lot of us have had difficulties in our childhoods, in our lives, throughout our lives. But I did this kind of interesting experiment, and it taught me something. And I recommend it to you, see if it works. And here's what I did. I started practicing gratitude, but for things that were maybe not the normal things we would express gratitude for. For example, I might express gratitude if I saw the color red, and I would say, thank you, God, for the color red. And when I saw the color red, I was reminded of Daredevil. And when I thought of Daredevil, the comic book character, I remember some Daredevil comics I had read. And I remember times when I'd been in places where I'd read Daredevil comics. And I would say, thank you for grass. And I was reminded of the time that I went to Grossmont College and I saw these grass fields, and they were so clean and pristine and beautiful that I literally took off my shoes and walked in the grass fields. And I thanked God for the sky. And I remember blue skies and sunny days that I've had in my life. And what I learned from this experiment, is that I've had many, 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 one more time, many good times in my life. I may not have recognized at the time that they were good, that they were really good, but they were. And the reason I may not have recognized them is because I was either consumed with negative thoughts, or I just wasn't thinking about them. But I've had many good times. And this is a way we can be in our minds and go deep into our thinking and realize, wow, we've had some good things happen in our lives. Maybe a lot more than we realize. So, even though it's cold outside, there's ways to get warmth. There's ways to find comfort. There's ways to prepare. There's ways to fight the cold. There's ways to dispel the cold. There's ways to get shelter. We don't have to be captured by the cold. All right. My time is just about up. So if you need a coach, a mentor, a writer, an editor, a speaker, or anything that I can do, give me a call at 619-672-0378. Give me a call. I look forward to it.